And that's why they also called him Teflon Didier, because, you know, this protective layer on a pan, which makes sure no dirt sticks to it. Well, that was what was said about Didier Reynders until last year.
Didier Reynders was a political heavyweight in Belgium and the European Union and served in top roles for decades. But right after his term as European Commissioner for Justice ended, Reynders fell from grace. In December 2024, Belgian authorities launched a money laundering investigation that has since led to formal charges. Reynders bought large quantities of lottery tickets over many years and used the winnings to funnel hundreds of thousands of euros back into his bank accounts. But what is the source of that money that Reynders allegedly laundered? I'm your host, Emma de Chassinier, recording from Brussels. And as always, I'm joined by Follow the Money reporter and my co-host, Alexander Fanta in Vienna. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Emma.
To unpack how all of this came to light, what exactly the court is looking into, and where we stand right now, we're joined by Simon van Dorpen, our in-house corruption specialist. Welcome, Simon. Thank you for joining us again.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Before we dive into the scandal that we're going to be talking about, what should we know about Reynders before we start talking about the scandal that you revealed about him? Who was he before this all happened?
Yes, as you mentioned, he was a high politician. He was the Belgian finance minister between 1991 and 2011. And immediately after, he was the foreign minister until 2019. So he had 2 decades at the very top of Belgian government. He almost made it to become prime minister. After his career in Belgian politics, he was still the justice commissioner at the EU level. So yeah, he was one of the most important politicians in Belgium. And his reputation was of someone who was extremely sharp, smart, real politician. Also strategically, he always knew, you know, to avoid scandals. That's why they also called him Teflon Didier, because, you know, everything like, you know, this protective layer on a pan, which, makes sure no dirt sticks to it. Well, that was what was said about Didier Reynders until last year.
And just to be clear, so as a European commissioner, his responsibility was to uphold the rule of law, right?
Indeed, yes. That was he was the EU Justice Commissioner. He was also responsible for consumer affairs. But indeed, Ursula von der Leyen asked him at the start of his term to ensure that the rule of law is upheld across our union. That was one of the tasks he got.
That didn't age well, did it?
Not at all. I mean, he's also maybe important to say he is a lawyer by training. He's a specialist in constitutional law, started his career in academics. Yes, and his wife is also a prominent judge in Liège. So, yes, they know one or two things about the law.
And what you revealed is that if there's one thing he didn't do, it seems like he did not uphold the law. So what exactly is that big scandal that you revealed about Didier Reynders?
So the big scandal is that, maybe we should go back to when it happened. That was on the 3rd of December. So until the 1st of December, he was...
2024, right?
2024, indeed. So until the 1st of December, he was the Commissioner for Justice. And 2 days later, he was interrogated. He was taken in for questioning by the police in a money laundering case. So there were also raids simultaneously in his homes in Ukre and in Vissoux, where he has a second home, which is between Liège and in Belgium.
And Ukre is a neighborhood in Brussels, right?
Ukre is indeed a kind of a upscale neighborhood in Brussels. And they asked him about his alleged role in a money laundering scandal. So what is... between 2008 and 2018, Reinders would have laundered money through his bank account, or he deposited, let's say like that, he deposited large amounts of money until almost 700,000 euros on his ING bank account. ING confronted him with that, and since then he's been playing with the national lottery for very large amounts, for around 200,000 euros until 2024. And so the allegation with the national lottery games is that he, he just went to this fuel station, a gas station close to his home in Ukwe, with cash money, and he bought their e-tickets. You get a small ticket, and then with that ticket, you can go play online, play several games of the national lottery. And online, if he wins money, he transferred that money to his private account. And so the allegation is that that was a way to launder money, because the money that comes to your private account then is considered a legal origin and thus laundered.
So first, for 10 years, he's depositing large sums of money into his bank account. The bank gets suspicious and asks him about it. He stops doing that, but then he starts kind of walking to his local gas station. And then, do we have any sense of the sums of money involved in that he was spending on tickets at the gas station?
Yes. So indeed, over a period of 5 years, so roughly overlapping with the time that he was the EU Justice Commissioner, that would be a sum of 200,000 euros, which is actually, if you calculate it, there is a maximum amount that you can play with these e-tickets, and it's 500 euro per person per week. So he actually hit the maximum. He used two accounts. He used the account of himself and his wife. Then you get to the amount of 200,000 euros. So he really did that like religiously during like more than 4 years.
Absolutely baffling. I wonder what the gas station attendant must have been thinking.
Especially since they probably also recognized who he was, right?
Of course. No. He's especially in Ukwe, everybody knows who he is.
Yeah. Is there a chance that he was just a crazy gambling addict?
Well, no, that's what at a certain point we heard his lawyer said, that there was there may have been a gambling addiction. But actually, the National Lottery came with a communication that immediately contradicted that claim. Why? Mm. Because the typical behavior of a gambling addict would be when you make money on this account, so you have this online account where the money comes, is to immediately reinvest that into new games. What Didier Reynders did was that all the profits went to his private account, and he kept injecting cash money. So he kept going to the gas station with cash money to buy new tickets. So that's not the typical behavior of a gambling addict.
Because they would just keep on gambling. Like, they're not out to make profit and put it in their bank. They want to gamble.
Exactly. So the money flow, so to say, would be different.
How did you exactly know that all of this was happening prior to the police raid?
So in 2019, I looked into this for the first time seriously. And I have been trying to cover a number of these suspicions around Didier Reynders. I mean, we looked into several of the people who were alleged to be involved in either bribery or money laundering connected to Reynders, but we never found anything. And it was in the end a tip about this investigation, which set off the current reporting.
Yeah, let's go back to that day in December 2024. Police raided Reinders' house. And that was the same day as when you published the story for Follow the Money, right?
Indeed, yes. It was quite a tense situation because we already knew sort of what was going on. We heard that there were raids happening, but we were waiting until we could confirm final details before publication. Our editor wanted to publish as soon as possible. We were saying we have to hold back a bit until everything is confirmed. So in the end, we published at 9:30 in the evening. which is quite late. So the next day, it's really in the morning, it was all over the news.
Yeah, it was a pretty huge story here. What was the day like for you?
It was my day of fame in Flanders. because I was asked in many, in the TV studio in the evening. So we had, you know, radio interviews, TV coming here. So we had a follow-up story with Alistair, who was working on this. But yes, it was a tiring day.
And would you say this was the biggest scoop that you revealed in your career as a journalist?
I mean, I think in Belgium, it definitely resonated most. I mean, I'm still asked at Christmas parties, like everybody somehow assimilates me with the Didier Reinders story and is asking, because of this contrast between who Didier Reinders was, top politician, quite respected in Belgium. But I have to say, I've spent much more time on other investigations, which I think were sort of more, when it comes to real investigative journalism, were more revealing and I would say important, but more systemic, let's say.
Simon, what are people most interested in? What are people asking you about?
Obviously, the number one question is, where did the money come from? Yeah. This, we have some suspicions, and the investigators are looking into this, but we don't have any definitive answers yet.
And so what's the next step in this court case? What are the big questions that remain right now?
So the next step will be the indictment, and then we'll see if he's indicted only for money laundering or also, for instance, for bribery or in Belgium, that's called passive corruption. The active corruption being then the person who would pay the bribes. We'll have to look out for that. What is important to note is that there's a special procedure. So before he can be indicted, the judges will need to ask the parliament to lift his immunity because he's under high immunity protection. So normally immunity is used because someone did certain things in the context of his work. So immunity protects a mandate of a European commissioner or a Belgian minister.
Yeah, and I assume that's not coincidence, right? That those raids only happened after his term as EU commissioner had ended.
Yes, so no, that's probably not a coincidence. If he would still be an EU commissioner and they would need to ask the European Commission to lift his immunity, then in theory, he would be he would need to lift his own immunity. This was a secret investigation. They wanted to do these raids and they wanted to find things. And if they would alert him beforehand by saying that he would obviously know that there would be a vote because he would need to recuse himself. and then, you know, he could cover up his tracks and he could hide things in his house if he had cash money or whatever. So by waiting until his term was ended, they didn't have to. They could ask the commission, of which he was no longer a part. I think
they made it much easier for themselves by waiting because they have a lot more investigatory powers. That obviously also begs the question, you know, the Commissioner for Justice and Consumer Matters, is he also responsible for online gambling and regulating lotto tickets?
The Commissioner for Justice, that's a good question. But as a finance minister, he was responsible for the National Lottery between 2007 and 2011. It's not always the case that the finance minister is, but he was during the last part of his mandate as a finance minister.
It would be difficult for him to claim he was oblivious of the rules.
Well, this definitely wouldn't be a defense. Oblivious of the rules. Nul n'est censé ignorer la loi is the French saying. So everybody should know the law, and obviously a minister should know the law. So no, that's not a defense. I mean, look, We'll have to wait until the court, the trial, see what his defense will be, see what the judges say. The money laundering looks like a very strong case. And the defense that we've heard so far is, on the one hand, you know, his gambling addiction defense, that doesn't seem to make much sense. Then there was also a defense that some of the money would have come from art sales. There has been a separate investigation opened into some of those aspects, but that does also not seem to go very far as far as what we hear.
So those police raids were in 2024, but you had in fact been looking into Reinders long before 2024 as well. What else did you find out about him?
So we're looking into Reinders for quite a while, and so have our colleagues from Le Soir. In 2019, there have been serious allegations at the time when he just started his mandate as new commissioner. A former member of the Belgian Security Service stepped forward with a lot of very serious accusations. He had a lot of documents, but there was no, let's say, hard evidence. Smoking gun proof was not there. There have been cases in Kazakhstan, in Libya, in Congo, in Belgium, where he was all mentioned as part of potential corruption, money laundering. So those could be explanations of where did Didier Reinders get his money, because now we're speaking about with the lottery tickets and the cash money deposited on his ING account. That is a money laundering case, but where did this money come from? I mean, cash money, where do you get it?
And so, but you also just mentioned the big question now, of course, is where did he get this money that he used to buy those lottery tickets? But why exactly is that such a crucial question in this whole case?
Because in a way, the money laundering is not the worst thing if you look at it somehow from an ethical perspective. Okay, he was playing games on the lottery. I mean, there's not much wrong with that, right? What people are wondering, and it makes the case stronger, if you can say, look, this is where the money came from. It's really dirty money, because now you have a sort of... Now there's a suspicion, as long as Didier Reinders cannot prove a legal origin, there's a suspicion that that the money was black, that the money was dirty. And that kind of leaves, if in the end you have a conviction, people will always stay with that question, okay, where did he get it from? So it's better if you can, at the same time, also look into the origin of the money and prove bribery or another. And so normally these are linked. When you have cases of money laundering, it's generally linked to corruption or any other form of criminal activity.
And some of the main actors in this whole story are, of course, the lottery and DJ Reinders' bank. And what did they do in this whole process? Did they ever flag something? Did they see something was off?
Yes, the lottery did, but ING didn't. So his bank, they confronted him in 2018 with the fact that he'd been depositing around 700,000 euros over the past 10 years on his bank account. And at that stage, they should clearly have notified the competent authorities, which they didn't do. And therefore, an investigation has been opened last year into ING, into ING Belgium. So now there's also a criminal investigation for trading in influence into ING Belgium.
But why did ING not do what it was supposed to do?
I have no idea. The point is they didn't.
And is there a speculation as to why they didn't do it?
So it's an investigation for trading in influence. I can imagine that Didier Reinders is someone quite powerful and useful to have as a friend.
And I think it's overall just a very crazy story. We have lottery tickets, former commissioner for justice. But the big question is, of course, like, why would someone with influence, with a lot of money already, probably, why would he do something like this still?
Yes, good question. And you're not the first one to ask it. That was the immediate reaction of people. Like, why does someone who earns such a good salary, has such you know, such a reputation as well. I mean, normally retiring politicians with his sort of state of service, they get a lot of respect. They are invited left and right. They often in Belgium get the title Secretary of State, which is a sort of, honorary title. Why would someone like that do it? There are some people who say, look, he's been engaged in dodgy business, potential criminal activity for decades. If some of these allegations or suspicions are true, then indeed he did get away with a lot of really bad things. And what could happen in such a case, and we've seen this in the past with other people, is that he got a bit overconfident. He thought he would get away with anything. He started losing his guards. For instance, this ING story shows it, you know, like, okay, he is depositing 700,000 euros in cash money. A bank which is supposed to just report that to the judicial authorities immediately, just sort of doesn't do it and allows him to get away with it. Maybe then he's like, okay, you know, what's next? Has an idea. I mean, I'm speculating here, but that's the only explanation I can come up with.
He might have thought that he was untouchable.
Indeed.
And now he's a man fallen from grace. A few days after his term as a commissioner ended, police raided his home. Have we seen him in public since?
Yes, actually we did a couple of weeks ago. He was asked in the context of a case of a metro line in Brussels to be a witness in the Belgian parliament. He showed up in public. He had changed his hair had grown and he was also he lost weight visibly. So you could say he didn't look great. On the other hand, you know, he was smiling, shaking hands. He didn't say anything about the corruption case. Obviously, there were many media asking him questions. He was sort of brushing it off, and he did his testimony, but he didn't say anything about the corruption case. That's the only time he was seen in public since the 3rd of December, 2024.
And most likely we will see in 2026 at some point a court case.
2026, I wouldn't be too sure about that. It's possible. It depends also on the investigation, on whether, they really go after this corruption. And there are many procedural hurdles possible in Belgium. We've seen in the past, I'm sure he has good legal counsel. So no, I wouldn't be sure that it will be in 2026.
And my very final question. So you've covered a number of corruption cases over the past years. And I'm wondering, what is your personal motivation to go behind these kind of cases?
I think it's super important that there is reporting about corruption, because what we see is a strong correlation between corruption and the rule of law, that it's very important that corruption is being fought. In Eastern Europe, for instance, there has historically been a lot of corruption, but you see that they really developed some very high standards in the fight against corruption in Eastern Europe. And in Western Europe, I believe there is a general sense, you know, we are a democracy, there is little corruption here. And of course, such a case like Didier Reynders is a great reminder. I mean, let's see what the trial says and what eventually comes out of this. But it's a great reminder that even at the highest levels, that people that we consider, to be our top representatives and who should, hold the highest standards of integrity and ethics. Yes, I think it's a very good signal that even, these people are being prosecuted and it's a reminder that there is an independent judiciary which doesn't shy away from going after even the most influential politicians.
Before we go to the end of this episode, we do have to make an important disclaimer here. So at the time of this recording, the legal proceedings against DJ Reinders are still ongoing, which means that he remains presumed innocent. Reinders' lawyer previously said that he would, quote, contest the criminal qualification given to the facts as presented in the press, both in fact and in law, end quote. And regarding the corruption cases that we've spoken about in this episode, so Libya, Congo, and Kazakhstan, no evidence implicating Reinders was ever found. And with that, we'll wrap up today's episode. Thank you so much for joining us, Simon, and Alex and I will be back soon for another episode.
Thanks, Emma.
You've listened to the podcast of Follow the Money. Our watchdog journalism is funded by our members. Subscribe and support European investigative journalism.